I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares.
Narrators!
Caught! Touchdown!
You're listening to the Autumn Windbags, an audio attack from the Silver and Black. Here are your windbags, RJ Clifford and Juan Soto.
Yeah, it is another episode of the Autumn Windbags. RJ Clifford, Juan Soto. Let's have some fun today. The Raiders, swagger, big dick flowing in the autumn wind into Dallas, Texas against the number one seed in the NFC. No Henry Ruggs. Darren Waller knocked out in the second quarter. Go into overtime and knock off the Cowboys 36-33 at AT&T Stadium on Thanksgiving. I said on the show this week, I'm just going to have fun on Thanksgiving. I don't care what happens. Good golly, Miss Molly, did the Raiders deliver today. Not a perfect performance by any means, but a clutch performance by all people who matter.
Yeah, there was some big times in that game and big drives. And, you know, we found a way to put points on the board. It wasn't perfect, but no games are. I feel like the fact that we were still able to move the ball, albeit mostly off penalties, we were able to move the ball late in the game, which was a big struggle for us, specifically in the fourth quarter.
So Derek Carr came into the game leading the league in explosive passing plays. Despite the fact you're saying he doesn't push the ball down the field, he literally does it more than anybody. He had a multiple 50, 30, and 20-yard completions. Hunter Renfrow had a 54-yarder, longest of the season. DeSean Jackson had a 56-yarder. Zay Jones had a 35-yarder. Darren Waller, in only a quarter and a half, had a 21-yarder. Just dispersing the ball, going deep. He ends it with 20. He's 24 of 39, 373 yards, one touchdown, no turnovers, 101 passer rating. Brilliant performance by Derek Carr at the time when his critics, mostly you and other people, you're not the only one, were the loudest. He responded with one of the best performances of the season.
It's true. You know, Derek Carr's capable of these games. I mean, that's why I said in the right situation, he's worth that $35-40+ million. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to focus on this game. I was most impressed by the pocket breaking down. He stepped up. He looked short. He looked for the check down. Then he looked deep before he threw it. He had time and he threw that deep pass to Hunter Renfrow. In the middle of the fourth quarter,
it was like his big fifth drive. Progression. It was like his fifth read, and he found.
But that's and to be fair, RJ, and you have to admit this: normal Derek Carr would just take the check down without checking deep before he checked down, and that's the issue that I've said about him in the past. And Sanjeet and Marcus all agreed that they see this when we watch tape. I think there's the three guys that we have on the show the most that watch the most tape, and. We see the same thing. So I love that. That is what I want from Carr when things start to break down. Him look, you know, I have the check down. He's wide open. I can just throw it up there and he's going to get it. Let me see what else is out there before I check it down. And that was a great play. That showed being aggressive, pushing the ball forward, looking to win the game, not just to take the safe play.
Again, he has more explosive plays than any quarterback in football. Like, that is Derek Carr.
Throwing it deep and completing. RJ, okay, look, if you want to go with that way instead of talking about the game today, then that's fine. His yards per attempt before this year.
The game was him throwing deep. That was the game.
I understand.
Daniel Carlson being clutch as fuck.
And that was this game, RJ. Okay, look, if you want to hijack this show about being about Derek Carr, we can talk all about Derek Carr all we want, and we can go all about that. If that's what you want. Because you're saying shit, you're antagonizing me, and then looking to move on, but you're saying shit like it's fact. Like this,
He literally leads the league in explosive plays. Period.
Okay, first off, pushing the ball down the field doesn't mean 25, 30 yards down the field. It's just not checking it down, looking to get maybe get the yard you're supposed to gain on the third down instead of checking it down and not giving yourself an opportunity. Just because he has those explosive plays, what I say in the last show, it's about the mid game as well. The middle throws, not just looking at to throw it deep or to check it down. And he did that this game. His yards per attempt before this year were not good. This year, they've gotten a lot better. Now, in the losses, especially in the fourth quarter on winnable games, I showed you the stats. His yards per attempt were 6.6, which is abysmal. That would be by far the worst in the league if that was off you know, his regular yards per attempt.
If I could just That's show everyone the text chain that you sent me today. Derek Carr will throw a brilliant 50-yard pass, crickets from you. Derek Carr will throw a touchdown pass, crickets from you. Derek Carr throws a pass that is complete but kind of behind his receiver. You're like, see, that was a bad pass.
Just because
that's literally what you texted me today.
Just because it's completed doesn't mean it's a brilliant pass. The pass to Hunter Renfrow was underthrown. If he would have hit him in stride like Dak hit guys in stride, guys you've never even heard of, some of them, then he's still running for the touchdown. So let's not go there, dude.
Renfrow was covered like a blanket. That play wasn't going anywhere.
Thrown short.
My point, Soto, is Derek Carr played lights out in every play.
He did not play lights out. Stop.
It was crickets from you.
He did not play lights out. Stop it.
He makes a completion, and you're like, see, this is shit. Dak throws a good deep ball.
Oh my
you're
God,
like, see,
RJ, this is gonna
that's
be
what
the,
Carr
this
should
gonna
do.
Be the shortest show ever because you're pushing this bullshit. He did not play lights out. Stop.
He played fantastic. He played amazing.
God, dude.
He played amazing today, and you only want to talk about things.
I don't want to talk about it. I didn't even start talking about it. But if you're going to push this narrative that's not true, I'm not going to sit here and just let you fucking push this bullshit to make me look bad.
God, you hate Carr so much. He has a great game, and you're pissed. You're literally mad that Carr had a good game. Look at you.
I'm not
mad. You mean?
I'm not mad. Now you're saying he had a good game, and I can agree with that.
Your headphones are going to break from steam coming out of your ears. You're so mad Derek Carr played great.
It's partially my fault. No, he did not play great. See, now you're changing the words. He had a good game.
54-yard completion. 56-yard completion.
RJ, that's not the issue. 35-yard completion.
No interceptions. No turnovers.
This is the problem. What you're looking for, and you're picking out things that I showed you last week, don't matter. When it comes down to it, what comes down to it
is doesn't matter.
When the game is on the line, what do you do? When the game is, you can be a great guy, you can be a great player until the fourth quarter and then lose the game in the fourth quarter because you can't do anything. Okay. What I'm saying is he played good all the way through. He played good all the way through the game. He didn't have a drop off. He didn't look. You're baiting me into being, and I'm an easy mark. I admit it. I'm an easy mark when it comes to this.
You were shit-talking Carr all day with text messages, and so I want to make sure that now that we have the open forum where this, again, the whole reason this podcast exists was to bring our text messages to life. Like, we had that a year ago, right? You, me, and Rory have the same text thread for, like, seven years.
Why can't we
bring it to life?
The game?
You wanted to dump on Carr all text message, so we're bringing it to life here.
Look, why can't we just talk about the game and talk about what happened, why we won, the things that we did, the things that we need to clean up. Great job, great win. What it does for us moving forward. But you have to push this narrative. He played amazing. He didn't play amazing. He played a good game. There were throws that he missed that you saw. The touchdown throw that he missed on the tight end. Renfrow was wide open, and he missed it. Okay? It's like, dude, there's things that he did that need to be cleaned up. But he did a lot better than he has in the past.
Dak Prescott played today how you think Derek Carr always plays. Like, Dak Prescott missed a wide open end zone throw. Wide open. When Faison fell. Wide open. He missed it, right? So should the Cowboys get rid of Dak Prescott? They're on a losing streak. They should get rid of Dak Prescott. This is my point. Is you grade Derek Carr stricter than any other player in any other sport on any other team? That's my point. He had a really good game. Dak Prescott, pretty good game.
He had a good game.
32 of 47, 375 yards, two touchdowns, no picks. Really good ball control by both teams today.
It wasn't like it was bad defense except for the penalties. Other than that, the defense was good. The penalties were bad on both sides. but the defense was good. And,
you want to talk penalties
Josh
real quick?
Jacobs, dude. Oh, God,
here's a mind blower, right? So the Raiders, 14 penalties for 110 yards. Fuck. I think this is unofficial. I think 9 or 10 of those penalties was the O-line, the offensive line. I want to say maybe 10, at least 9 of those penalties, offensive line. Remember last game, it was the defense that had to like penalty after penalty after penalty after penalty. This week, it's the offense, penalty after penalty, Leatherwood, Simpson. We had a false start by our center. We had a false start by a center. That's how bad the penalties were on offense. That's one of the worst penalty games I've seen from the Raiders in a long time, and the Raiders are one of the worst penalized teams in football. That wasn't even as bad as the Cowboys. The Cowboys
that's one
had
of the
14
worst
penalties,
penalties
for 166 yards.
And to Carr's credit, he identified matchups that were favorable to him, and he let the ball go, and he threw some jump balls, and those jump balls caused a lot of those interference calls. So that's a big plus on Carr identifying the matchups. But there was a few penalties that were a little bit iffy. That's the most penalties I've seen a team get and win. That's a lot. That's a lot of penalties. 14 and
only because the other team had worse. Like it literally took.
And that's the only reason, honestly, because we didn't move the ball that well that last drive. If it wasn't for that penalty, it wouldn't have been great. You know, after that run from Jacobs. And this, can we talk about Jacobs when you have a chance? Because goddamn, he
ran hard today. One more thing on the penalties.
Yeah.
You know, we were pretty hard on Rich Bisaccia this last week, and I want to be more fair to him because I feel like his, you know, being interim head coach in this situation, I still believe he was the right call for the job, right? He lets Tom Cable do his job, let Bradley do his job, let Olsen do his job, and just kind of like generally don't try to overhaul it midseason as interim. Just like kind of let everyone do your job and just kind of oversee everything, which is what we're supposed to do. He's been pretty bad management-wise, timeouts-wise, stuff like that. I don't want to be too hard on him considering how he became head coach, right? Like you're imagine getting thrown, like, you know, let's say you're the head salesman for a company and then you got thrown into a job as lead counsel, like the next day. And you're like, all right, do that job perfectly. Now you're like, all right, let's be fair to Bisaccia. He got thrown into a job that wasn't supposed to be his, not prepared for. But he was by far the superior coach today. That's how bad Mike McCarthy is as a head coach.
Dude, Mike McCarthy.
That's how bad he is.
One thing I want to know going forward, who is Bisaccia's like consigliere? You're like, who's the guy that's like, hey,
he's super Italian. So you know he would call him a consigliere.
Because like who's that guy in his eye? Hey man, you know, we got 2 timeouts still. You know, hey, we had a timeout at the end of regulation. Could we have tried to throw something deep over the middle and call a timeout and see what we could pick up? Could have. I don't have a problem with the call either way, but it's something to think about. I'm sure that he's probably thought about it.
It felt like John Gruden was in his ear on like a Bluetooth. Like that's how he was managing.
John Gruden is way worse. John Gruden is way worse. I learned something today, and I finally came to this realization today. And I honestly, I'm really excited about it, and I wanted to share it with you guys today.
I'm excited.
Next year, yeah, Matt, you're right, and that's what I wanted to stick to. But RJ wanted to hop on that bullshit. But hang on, I gotta take a drink too.
You wanted to skip right by Derek Carr's performance. I wasn't gonna let you.
I am 100% convinced right now that everyone except for Colton Miller on our offensive line needs to go.
Impossible. We don't have the resources to get rid of anybody.
I know. I'm not saying we can't. Well, for next year, I mean, Andre James, he's not cutting it.
He improved. Like he's trending
dude,
the right way.
His run blocking is still not good, dude.
He's still not good, but
he's not good.
This is my big thing is like, are the young guys trending in the right way? Like Brandon Parker, he's been around long enough. He's just like not getting there.
This is last year on a contract too.
He's just not doing it. Leatherwood, rookie. Like Colton Miller played worse than Leatherwood his rookie year. So it's like, you know, develop. Let's hope, right? Fingers crossed that he can develop. Andre James is developing.
Oh god, he's
it's tough, right? Like they all got to be better, but there's not like other than Parker, there's no like okay, veteran dude not cutting it, gone.
Well, everyone else Sims is not good either. Sims is not good at all either. Yeah, but the thing that I just we have plenty of time for all this. Cliff, I sure fucking did.
Yeah.
I'm in my brother's garage right now. Fuck it. Yes, you guys saw Super Bad.
You're on a cleansing diet. Right now.
Yeah, I'm about to fucking cleanse. Yeah, I'm gonna snort some of this later. This fucking OxyClean foam. So I want to stick to this game today. This is a big win for a few reasons. Number one, it stops losing streak. Number two, it shows that we can play with these teams. And look, I don't want to look. We were missing guys too. They were missing guys. We were missing guys. We actually had to adjust mid game to not have Waller, and so that was a little bit tougher than game plan.
And when Cowboys fans, to all you Raider fans, when the Cowboys fans start complaining, oh, we didn't have CeeDee Lamb. Oh, we didn't have Amari Cooper. Well, we didn't have Henry Ruggs, and we didn't have Darren Waller for the bulk of the game. So, even Steven.
So. I am supremely impressed with our defensive front. Tony Pollard, 10 carries for 36 yards. Zeke Elliott, 9 carries for 25 yards. That is fucking amazing. That is probably one of the best, if not the best, against the run we've played. Against a good offensive line, mind you, in years, in decades. That's the best.
The highest paid running back team in football and one of the best lines we've played. Shut him down.
Dude, and Pollard showed some of that shake on his run back. Pollard's a good fucking back. I said it in the show yesterday. He's a good back, and we had them both bottled up against the run at least. I mean, Pollard had a couple of catches where he went deep, and excuse me, and he also had the run back. But it's a great job identifying the situation late in the game. And I text you guys, hey, here it is. Let's see it. We need a score right now. We need a score right now because we're only up 5. We need a score. Okay, now's the time. It's macho time, right? Now we need to go up and get this fucking score. We went there. We got it. And it's a good thing we did because, goddamn, Abram, again, giving up that 2-point conversion, motherfucker. He just can't cover. But it's okay. We won the game. That's what I want to focus on.
This is one of the most consistent games. Like four or four and a half quarters of football that the Raiders.
It was a slugfest. It was a slugfest. This was very Ravens-esque.
Yeah.
Where the Ravens were missing a couple of people. We were missing a couple of people. We didn't really know what we had in the first of the year. We had just lost Denzel Good the week or 2 weeks prior. Like, we're still worrying about our offense. What are we going to do? Fucking Leatherwood's playing tackle still. God,
both our starting guards didn't play out of the gate, right? Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
What are we
going
to do here?
But it was a complete game for the first time. Like, again, we talked about the issues, right? Penalties, of course, being the major outlier, specifically the offensive line penalties. But the game started out with a 3-and-out by our defense, responded with a 3-play, 70-yard touchdown drive by the Raiders. Josh Jacobs, we'll get more specifically into him, but he was rolling today. Pressure consistently, not a lot of sacks. I think we only had one sack.
A lot of pressure though. A lot of pressure.
But a pretty. But and again, that's been the Raiders' front, right? Not a record breaking, you know, Khalil Mack type of like sack run. But Crosby and Yannick are just kind of always in your face. And this is another game, back to back games where Max Crosby is just getting molested by offensive linemen. God, dude,
my brother is not. I don't know. So my brother is a fucking Bills fan. Because he knows how much I love the Raiders. And when they kicked the shit out of the Raiders in the playoffs, he loved the fucking Bills. I fucking hate him for it. So he's not even a Raider fan.
That's a hardcore trolling brother to pick your team just to troll your brother.
Bro, he still buys gear. He still buys Bills gear. Okay? So we both jumped up off the couch on that fourth quarter hold when you were like, the guy like grabbed Max and threw him to the ground. We're like, dude, that's a fucking hold. What the hell? He was held a lot, and the thing is as Max, I think later on, maybe not so much later on this year, but next year, as he gets that reputation of being that guy, he's going to get more of those calls. But for right now, it's tough, man. He doesn't really have that rep going in with the refs. And I mean, a lot of his reputation based. You see it a lot in sports, especially like the NBA. But also now, you know, in the NFL, like quarterbacks, and they get a lot away with a lot more. Corners, they get away with a lot more if they have that rep. You need to get that rep first, and things are seen a different way. But I want to focus on a couple things here. If we're in a goal situation, I don't see why we at least have one or two plays at least with Mariota in the game.
Oh,
he looked fabulous in both plays. He looked great. He was untouched into the end zone on his touchdown. It's something that you don't really game plan for, because you don't know how many times you're going to see it. You only have so much time to practice.
If we could even just convince defensive coordinators to spend an hour more time on that week game planning for Mariota, that's already a win.
Yeah.
That's already a win.
It's like
thematically.
If the speed at which this game is played, I've been on the field at college games, and it was like pretty good. Couple like SC against playing another good team. I think it was Oregon at the time. And I've been on the field, and those guys in college are zipping like crazy. Like, it's you blink and they're on you. I can't even imagine when you're in the game how fast that gameplay is. Even with Derek Carr, it's not so fleet of foot, but how fast he moves in his decision making. If you get someone who's noticeably faster than Carr, that shift from Carr at quarterback running the ball to Mariota at quarterback running the ball, you're not used to as a defense. Used to that quarterback covering that amount of space in such a little amount of time, and it's tough to defend. It really is. That's why some of the college teams still have that red zone quarterback. But it's a good weapon to have, and we need to use it. I'm not opposed to anything right now. Use anything we can.
Mariota had two carries, had two plays this game, and didn't get hurt.
Tackled.
You didn't get touched. Like that's been the biggest thing with Mariota is like, oh, wow, we have a great – like, what's the number one thing you need in a backup quarterback? Them to stay healthy.
You need to be accurate, and you need to be
durable. You need to be durable. Healthy. You need to be,
yeah,
you durable. Need to be available.
You can't get hurt, and you need to be accurate. Yeah. You don't have to have a big arm. You know, you don't have to have these crazy attributes. You just need to be able to stay on the field and need to be accurate with the ball. You don't have to be a world beater if you're a backup.
He needs to be healthy, and he hasn't been. Right. Yeah, like that's my only thing with not using Mariota more is like he literally carried the ball in one game one time and got hurt and was out for like 3 weeks.
All the first season,
right? It's like Christ, man. It's like, you know, don't make me want to re-sign Nathan Peterman again, right? Like,
he needs to do more Pilates. I think he needs to do more Pilates
or core work, you know?
Yeah, he needs to really get that core, the psoas, the psoas muscles.
Some Kegel exercises, you know?
Oh, shit.
Be able to pick up an egg, that type of shit.
Benoit
balls. Couple quick notes on Derek Carr. You know it was a really, really, really bad penalty game for the Cowboys when Derek Carr got a roughing the passer. Defenses have been able to just maim Carr all season. Never even like a sniff of a whistle. Carr got like a kind of iffy roughing the passer.
Dude,
I was like, wow,
no, that guy forearmed Carr in the head, then hit him with the knee, and then the guy moving across hit him with the knee, and he barely got the flag.
Another one, Derek Carr became the first quarterback in Raiders history to pass for 3,000 yards. Congratulations to him, and that was on the touchdown pass to make it even more so. Real good game by Carr, and
good game, yeah.
Played really, really well.
But here's what I want to focus on. He played well in the big time spots when he needed that score. He went down there and we got that score. That's what was missing in those close losses, is we were still getting those three and outs when it's big time right now. We need this. It was a turnover, a interception, fumble, or a three and out, you know? So that's bigger than the keep the 373 yards. You fucking save it. His fourth quarter, how he played, and in overtime, how he moved the ball. Us running out of passing sets, running out of the shotgun, running out of three, four wides. That's what we need to do, because we don't have that. Okay, we're showing you run. We can beat you with the run. We have to spread everyone out a little bit, and that works a little bit better for us. And Foster Moreau did a great job blocking a couple of those Jacobs runs. I like how when I almost fucking strangled Jacobs when he missed that pass He dropped that pass, that that little skinny.
There were two really big drops. Jacobs had a drop that could have been like a 50-yarder, and Waller had a big drop that was like borderline fumble. Remember, like when he was still playing in the first quarter, like they were two ugly. But like, yeah, this like could have blown wide open if it weren't for those two drops.
Yeah, yeah. Jacobs was gone for the rest of that drive in the next. Like that was all Drake. I don't know.
If he was in timeout. He was sitting in a stool in the corner of the field with the dunce cap on, like a little
cup. I hate it when somebody fucks up and they just smile. They're like, oh, man, like, dude, what are you smiling about? What are you so happy for yourself for?
It's like when a guy gets hit in a fight and they kind of like smile. It's like, yeah, you got me.
Yeah, kind of you
like
got that.
You're just like you're just like embarrassed. Dude, like you're just so embarrassed. You smile. You're like, ah, fuck.
I like a couple of things here. Renfro, eight catches for 134 yards. A couple of those were really big, along a 54-yard catch. Yeah,
he's no longer just like the slot 5-yard guy.
And that's what I've been asking for. Yeah, that's what I've been asking for, because he can beat guys, and you don't need to beat guys by a lot, especially when you're running kind of like a diagonal patterns. You know, like they're having to catch up to you and catch up to you that way too. I mean, DeSean Jackson is now playing that early Henry Ruggs role, which is just kind of a deep threat. He ran that comeback. He ran that, what was like a 15-yard comeback, which was, that's exactly, when they're giving you that type of cushion, that's the route. It's stealing. He had three catches for 102 yards. Zay Jones picked it up today. Not only did he get five catches for 59 yards, he caught two big interference penalties on him. So that's great work.
He had one of the best catches of the year that got called back.
Yeah,
dude,
Jesus
Christ. I thought Derek Carr was throwing it away, and Zay was just kind of like, and they slow motioned it, and it was just like he was 90 degrees vertical, both feet inbounds. I was like, you go, Zay. Like you're the Rudy of the team. You're not the athlete. You're not the good. You're the Rudy of the team. And you hit the fucking Julio Jones catch. Like, jeez.
So the greatest catch I've ever seen in my life ever. It was just like a throwaway game back when there wasn't red zone or anything like that. It was a long time ago. If you remember the player Braylon Edwards, he's a wide receiver. So he was playing for the Browns at the time, and he was running in the end zone. The ball was thrown to the corner, so he had a turn. He turned away. He was sliding his feet the entire time, and he caught the ball, the back half of the ball, for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. That was the most impressive thing I've seen before today, before Zay Jones' catch, because he was literally like maybe 3 feet off the ground, his chest was, but he was full extension, toes inbounds, and too bad it didn't. But he's capable of it, and although the catch didn't count, that seemed to give him a little bit more swagger. And he's a little bit more active. Hell, if I was Carr and I threw that ball, whether it counted or not, I'd have a little bit more confidence in Zay Jones.
And we got, I think, exactly what we wanted out of DeSean Jackson. Like you said, only three receptions on four targets, but 102 yards, deep threat, touchdown, 56-yarder. That's, I think, exactly the role we want out of DeSean. Like, if he has like a 10-reception game, great. But like the goal is just having him there, being the speedster, target him enough to keep everybody honest. And I like how they incorporated him in.
No, that was Renfro.
Did he get a carry?
Renfro got that. No, Renfro got
that fly. Okay. But no, he got something, a swing pass or a screen. Anyway, he
might have got a swing pass. Yeah.
I think he got like a swing pass or a screen. But it's just like, I think that's exactly the role that the Raiders want out of DeSean Jackson. And that was the game that he played.
There's no eight catches by Renfro if there's not DeSean Jackson on the field. And you can even bait him too, because actually on the Renfro catch, they switched roles. Renfro is the one that went deep, and DeSean Jackson was the one that went short. So when you're not expecting, when the wrong side that you're expecting is going deep, yeah, you're gonna be open. So good.
Darren Waller kind of had a rough game before he got hurt. Two receptions, 33 yards. He was targeted five times, had one really bad drop that looked like it could have like 50-50-ish on possibly being a fumble. Luckily, it was ruled an incomplete pass. And then he went down the second. Tracy Wolfson, the CBS sideline reporter, said it was a bone bruise on Darren Waller. Obviously, he'll have all his MRIs and x-rays and stuff today and tomorrow. We'll know exactly the extent of it. I think is the best case scenario is a bone bruise, because the way he went down, I think it could have been ACL, MCL, ankle, hip, like something like that. If it's a bone bruise where it's just like, you know, just like a contusion, like it's just sore, that's probably the best case scenario injury wise. And also long week of recovery.
We have a lot more time. Like, we have 10 days. Yeah. We have 10 days.
So it's like, obviously Darren Wall going out for the game is like terrible news. The best player on our team, like, missing 2.5 quarters. But if he had to do that, this report, if true, with the time that he has to recover, is probably the best case scenario in a worst case scenario start, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The one thing that kind of makes me pause a little bit is that's kind of like, that's a very old school, like, designation, a bone bruise. So I can see Bisaccia. We don't normally see those now. That's kind of like an older, like late, like in the 90s, you would hear a lot of bone bruises because you didn't know what it was. Ah, it's a bone bruise. But the thing is that's usually a placeholder until you get the MRI, is the bone bruise. And then when you get the MRI, then you see what it actually is. So we'll see in the next couple of days what it is.
He was in street clothes after the half, but he didn't look like he was limping. I mean, again, like
I didn't see him walk around. He wasn't on crutches.
Yeah, we can speculate all day long. Obviously, you know, those reports will be coming in throughout the weekend. We probably talk kickers on this podcast more than any other, but for really, really, really good reason. Again, AJ Cole having an all-pro season just as a punter, and of course that forced fumble that he had made him on highlights. And then, dude, Daniel freaking Carlson. He's had kind of a not – his last season, he was way better than he was this season. He missed some extra points, missed a couple chip shots. Today, 3 of 3 on extra points. 5 of 5 on field goals, including a 56-yarder, and then, of course, the overtime clutch field goal to win the game. Again, not the perfect season that we're used to with Daniel Carlson, but he came up huge today for the Raiders.
Yeah, it's when anytime you're 5 for 5 with a 56-yarder, and it's such a tight game, that's big. You know, you said Cole had. He had a 68-yard punt. He was averaging like 48 and change per punt. And that was with a big return. So without that big return, it's even more. So our special teams, man, they played special today. They played really well.
Outside of the
coverage touchdown. Our kickers played really well today. Yeah, man.
And that's what's going to make this game look not as great for the defense score-wise, because, you know, Dallas scored 33 points, and, you know, you score 33 points, you're going to win most games, but 7 of those was the kickoff return for a touchdown, which wasn't the fault of, you know, the actual defense. But defense played really well against the number one team in football, the number one offense in football. I mean, I said, Not a lot of only one sack, but they were in Dak Prescott's face. We actually held a team to 3.2 yards per carry rushing, which is really good. 64 total yards by the Cowboys. I thought for sure they put 180 rushing yards on us. I thought for sure.
I was very nervous.
Two receivers out, and how bad the Raiders' rushing defense has been. And it wasn't like they weren't trying. Like, they had 20 carries and they tested it. Like, they wanted to get that run game going, but they were playing from behind most of the game.
Yeah, that's it.
And there was a lot of like first and tens, and it turned into a second and 11 or a second and 9. And they're like, all right, we got to put the ball in Dak's hands. Like, it was the best rushing defense of the season for the Raiders against, like we said earlier, a quality rushing football team.
That's where identifying formations and playing stout up front really helps, because I saw drives where they ran the ball once, where Dallas ran the ball one time for like -1 yards. And like, fuck this. We need to score. We're going to fucking put it in Dak's hands and let Dak take care of it. And then Dak would throw the rest of the drive. That's why they had so few carries, but it was because of a few things. It was because of the way the defense was playing. And also because the offense was giving us that lead. We had that one at least touched an 8-point lead around the 8 and 5 and back and forth a couple times. But if you have that lead, that's how you put the pressure on the other team.
With this win now, Raiders moved to 6-5. We'll see how the rest of the AFC West games go here. Cowboys dropped to 7-4. They're at a little bit of a skid. They got their ass handed to them by Kansas City last week. Couldn't pick things up here at home on Thanksgiving. Like, that's as home turf as it gets for the Cowboys. Really short week, Thursday at home, Thanksgiving. Like, that's probably, that's one of the biggest home field advantages you can get in the NFL, where home field advantages aren't what they are in like college football or college basketball or, you know, other sports, other leagues. But that's about as big of a home. They were 7-point favorites, the Cowboys. And right when everyone was starting to think the Raiders were on a skid and they were unrecoverable, they're going to spiral out of control, season's gone, the Raiders deliver. My man, is that mixed with the laundry detergent you were drinking?
No.
Your diarrhea tonight is going to be something special. I want to text you in like 5 hours.
Guaranteed. I'll send you a picture of it if you want.
Please.
All right. Yeah, so moving forward,
exactly the content that we have here.
We have 6 games left. I am hopeful we can turn this around. 10 wins looks like it's attainable now. We have, 6 games, 4-2 on the rest of the way. I mean, it looks like it's not impossible when you consider we have a Browns team. Washington football team that's played long up week. And down. Yeah, yep. A long week. A Washington team that's played up and down, and unfortunately, fuck, dude, Chase Young is out. He tore his ACL. He's an amazing young player, and I hate to see him hurt. But hey, fuck it, shit happens. We've had people hurt too.
He picked the right time to be hurt.
Yeah, right. We have the Browns, who are also up and down. They're on a downward trend as well. The Broncos, who we handled with Von Miller. The Colts, who, I mean, although Jonathan Taylor is seen as probably maybe an MVP candidate by his play, they've been known to throw away games before. And the Chargers team, who we played probably one of the worst games that I've seen, and we still were in the game late in the game. So it's definitely available for us to come back and finish the season strong. The main thing is, moving forward, we have to take away what's important from this game. And it's the third down conversion that we were able to do, pushing the ball down the field.
You want to hear a crazy stat? Because it doesn't feel this way at all. Do you know what our third down efficiency was?
What's that?
3 of 13. It was terrible.
Well, here's the thing.
It didn't feel that way though, right?
We had 13. Right? We were moving the ball.
Well, Derek Carr had, our offense had multiple, 54-yard reception, 56-yard reception, 35, 21. So, you know what I mean? It was like giant chunk plays, not third down efficiency, not matriculating the ball down the field, as they say. It was big plays, which is us now, right? Like, this isn't the West Coast.
This isn't
Rich Gannon's West Coast offense. This is explosive, wham, yes, bam, give me 40 yards at a time type of offense. Like, that's not what I thought it would be. That's not how the Raiders have been, but that's what we stumbled into being. Embrace it and run with it.
So look, here's the deal. We were 3 of 13, right? And third downs. But the problem is where were the third downs? That's the issue, because Daniel, look, count with me here. 13 minus 3 is 10, correct? Is my math correct on that?
Let me get my calculator. Times it by pi, carry the 4. Yeah, go ahead. Got it.
Okay.
Correct.
Cole, 5 punts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Carlson, 5 field goals. There's your 10. 5 on those third downs that we didn't get were on the Dallas side of the field, and we were able to convert those, even though
after a couple monster chunk plays. Yeah.
So that's why, that's where you have to take a look at, okay, 5 of those, we got to get rid of the ball. Okay, whatever. But on 5 of those 10 non-converting third downs, we got points off of them still. So that's what you have to take a little bit further look into what's going on with the third down conversion. That's why I feel like, okay, I already pushed the ball down the field and we were able to get points. It was a much better performance offensively, because they weren't missing a lot of people defensively. They had their team defensively. And this is a team that people were I mean,
they could what did the Chiefs put up?
What did the Chiefs put up against them? Fucking 9 points or something like that?
I think it was like 16-9, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. They scored now, but it was 16 points. Like, I mean, it's you know, but look what I text you guys. Shallow cross to fucking D-Jack. Shallow cross. Like, let him run with the ball. You know, that little crossing route that he had for the touchdown. I don't know how he stayed in bounds, honestly. I'm a little drunk right now, if I'm being honest.
That laundry detergent's going straight to your head. All right, before you pass out wasted, give me the number one thing the Raiders need to learn from this game and the number one thing you're most proud of the Raiders today.
The number one thing the Raiders learned today is it's not over yet. It's not over. If they execute, it's about execution. If they execute, they can win and they can beat anybody. That's the biggest takeaway that's the biggest thing that the Raiders learned today. And what was the second question? I'm a little drunk.
What you're most proud of the Raiders today?
I'm actually very proud of Derek Carr, and I'm very proud of
you. Really are drunk.
Him. I'm very proud of him breaking away from his tendencies and doing things to help his team win, as opposed to making the quote unquote smart play. And that's what needs to happen when it's that macho time. You know, we need to get out there and sack up and make the play that needs to be made, even though it's not scripted. Yeah.
So for me, the number one thing the Raiders need to work on this week is I want Tom Cable to take that O-line and treat them like they're a bunch of 9-year-old Pop Warner football players and just do the whistle drill where they're going to say, hut, hut, hike, hike, and then hike the ball. And you only move when you hike the ball. Even though that's a defensive play, I want to do that for the O-line. And if anyone flinches, it's 20 wind sprints. Like, literally treat this O-line like they're 9-year-old Pop Warner players so we can stop with these goddamn offensive penalties. Like, discipline.
Pre-snap penalties? Oh, God.
Discipline this O-line. Discipline this O-line. That is the goal this week in a really, really long week.
Who are you most impressed by in this game? Which player were you most impressed
by? Carr. I mean, the deep passes, drawing all those PIs. He was moving great in the pocket. I think he was sacked twice, and both of those, it was like no chance.
He was sacked
three. All those, he had no chance. It was like three-step drop, boom, and he was like kind of dead, right?
Yeah,
like
he didn't have an odd shot.
He scrambled for a 21-yard run.
20-yard run, yeah.
Yeah, like
what about the Cowboys?
Yeah, 22.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm talking over.
Yeah, Carr played fantastic. 22-yard run. Moved in the pocket accidentally, bought time when he needed to, drew all those penalties, spread out the ball. Again, no Ruggs, no Waller, a brand new DeSean Jackson. He was able to integrate and play well. A Hunter Renfrow, who was known basically as just kind of a slot mid-range dude, and he had him throwing balls everywhere. Zay Jones, who's mediocre at best, but he got some great passes to Zay, and Zay he played well. It was Derek Carr's day. I think he heard all the trash. He was, like we said, he was damn near in tears at that presser from the Cincinnati Bengals game. And he was just like
that's what he needs to remember.
Distraught.
He needs to remember.
He responded in a short week. He responded big.
You know what? Let me float this at you. Look, I think the short week was a benefit to Carr because he still felt it. He still felt that Sunday game. And it's only a few days. It's like, oh man, I still feel that pain. Like in the fourth quarter, I'm not gonna check this fucking ball down. I need it more yardage than that. I'm gonna go get more yardage than that. I was extremely impressed with Micah Parsons. That guy is a fucking problem. And we couldn't block him today. But you know, we won the game and I fucking loved it. And you know, let's rest up, heal up, scheme up, and get ready to take on the Washington football team next week.
Micah Parsons had 5 QB hits.
God, he's like a fucking beast, bro.
Derek Carr had a couple plays where he had a super clean pocket for like 4 or 5 seconds, and he took advantage of it. But he had some other breakdowns where it was just like he was so beat up. Yeah, he was so beat up that he actually got a roughing the passer call, which never happens to Derek Carr, and he actually got one. All right, so again, obviously no post-game show on Sunday since we're here, so maybe we'll do – let's do something this weekend, a YouTube-only something, maybe a cool interview.
A quickie. Or,
yeah, right. You know, just to kind of keep your man happy, you know, just something something in between the holidays.
Give me a little taste.
Right?
See what it
tastes like. Something before he goes to work, you know, just like keep the side bitches away. We'll do something for you guys this weekend.
Did you see my shirt, RJ?
Rancheras kick ass.
So those who don't know,
when are you going to get a mustache is? Like that? You got to get a mustache like that.
So a ranchera is like a ranchera or a ranchero. That's like a country Mexican person. Someone's from like from the country. So a country, basically a Mexican country girl's kick ass. They cook and they suck a mean dick.
I can imagine. All right. We'll talk to you this weekend. We'll back to our regularly scheduled program next week. Washington football team up next. A lot to be happy about today. Overtime.
Great job
exciting
today, boys.
Game. Raiders 36, Cowboys 33 in overtime. Plenty to learn from this game and even more to be proud of for the Raiders. It's a great day
to build off of. Plenty to build off of.
It's a great day for Raider Nation. Really, really happy day. For Raider Nation. I'm going to go back to drinking, watching more football. You have some more laundry detergent to drink. But until then, knock on wood if you're with me.